السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ورب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 159 to 164 of Surah An-Nisa today. We'll start with the word meanings, inshallah. Beginning with ayah number 159. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and in, not. And please note that the in here does not mean if, it means not, because it's followed by the word illa shortly afterwards in this ayah. So anytime we see the word in followed by illa within the ayah, it means not. It doesn't mean if. So here it means not. Wa and in, not min. From ahli, people. Al-kitabi, of the book. Illa, except. La yu'minanna. La, surely. Iman is the root word, and that means to believe. Ya tells us this word is in the third person. And the noon with the shadda at the end adds a little bit more emphasis to this word. So again, we add the word definitely, even though the surely is there already. Translated from the la, the short la prefix in the beginning, the noon mushaddad at the end means definitely, so it adds even more emphasis to what's being said. So la yu'minanna, surely he will definitely believe, be with he, him, qabla, before, mawtihi, mawt, death, he, his, wa and yoma, day, al-qiyamati, the standing before Allah, yakunu, he will be. Kun means to be. Ya tells us this is in the third person. So yakunu, he will be. Alayhim, alay, upon, him, them, or it can mean against them. Shahida, a strong witness. Shahid means a witness. So shahidan, a strong witness. Fa, then, be, because of, dhulmin, injustice. Min, from, alladhina, those who, hadu, they became Jews. Haramna, haram, made haram, made unlawful. Na, we, alayhim, alay, upon, him, them. طيبات, good things, pure things. أُحِلَّت, was made halal, or were made lawful. لَهُم, la for whom, them. Wa and be, because of. صَدِّ, stopping or hindering him, theirs. عَن, from. سَبِيلِ, way or path. اللَّهِ, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَثِيرًا, plenty or many. Wa and akhdi. Khudh means to take, right? So akhdi, taking him, theirs. A riba. Riba, al means the, and riba means usury or interest. Wa and qad, in fact. Nuhu, they were forbidden. Naha means to forbid. Okay, to say no to something. Nuhu is passive and it ends in vowel if. It's a verb, so we know this is plural. So nuhu, they were forbidden. An, from, who, in. Wa and aklihim. Alif gaf lam, that means to eat. Okay, akli eating, him, theirs, amwala, wealth, annasi, of the mankind, bilbatili, be with, al, the, batil, false or wrong, wa, and, a'tadna, a'tad, prepared, na, we, lil kafirina, li, for, al, the, kafirina, disbelievers, minhum, min, from, whom, them, adhaban, a punishment, alima, one most painful. Please note that this is not pronounced as alima with the ayn. That is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, right? That comes from ilm, and that means the all-knowledgeable. This word is not the same as that. This is alima, starting with alif. Okay, so alima, meaning painful. Lakin, but arrasikhuna, those who are firmly grounded, fi, in, al-ilm, the knowledge, minhum, min, from, whom, them, wa, and, al-mu'minuna, those who believe, yu'minuna, they believe, bima, be, with, ma, whatever, unzila, was sent down, ilayka, ilay, towards, ka, you, wa, and, ma, whatever, unzila, was sent down, min, from, qabili, before, ka, you, wa, and, al-muqimina, al means the, muqimin, those who perfectly establish, as-salata, the prayer, wal-mu'tuna, wal, and the, ata means to give, that's the root word here, mu'tuna, those who give, az-zakata, the obligatory charity, wal-mu'minuna, wa, and, al, the, mu'minuna, believers, billahi, in Allah, wal-yawmi, wa, and, al, the, yawm, day, al-akhir, the last, ula'ika, those, sanu'tihim, sa, in the beginning of the word, this prefix means soon. Nu'ti, nun means we, and ata means to give. So nu'ti, we will give him them. So sanu'tihim, soon we will give them ajran, a reward, azima, one great. Inna, this is a, inna means indeed, and nun alif in the end means we. Okay, so the na at the end is a suffix. Inna, indeed we, and of course that's a pronoun. Awhayna, this word comes from wahi, which means a divine revelation. Awhay, did wahi, or inspired, this is a verb. Na, we, ilayka, ilay, towards, ka, you, kama, ka, just, ma, as, or just like, oh, hey, did wahi, or inspired, na, we, ila, to, nuhin, nuh, alayhi salam, wa, and, annabiyina, this is plural for the word nabi, which means a prophet, annabiyina, the prophets, min, from, ba'di, after, he, him, wa awhayna, wa, and awhay, did wahi, na, we, or we inspired, or indicated, ila, to, Ibrahima, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, wa, and Ismaila, Ismaila, alayhi salam, wa, and Ishaqa, Ishaq, alayhi salam, wa, and Yaquba, Yaqub, alayhi salam, wa, and al-Asbati, the descendants, wa, and Isa, Isa alayhi salam, wa, and Ayyuba, Ayyub alayhi salam, wa, and Yunusa, Yunus alayhi salam, wa, and Haruna, Harun alayhi salam, wa, and Sulaymana, Sulaymana alayhi salam, wa, and Atayna, Atay, gave, na, we, Dawuda, Dawud alayhi salam, Zabura, Zabur or Psalms. Wa and Rusulan, messengers. Qad, in fact. Qasasnahum. Qasas means stories. So Qasasna, we narrated. We related. Hum, them. Alayka, alay, upon ka, you. Min qabl, from before. Wa and rusulan, messengers. And this is plural for the word rasul, which means one messenger. So rusulan, messengers. Lam, did not. Naqussushum, qasas again meaning stories. Noon in the beginning means we. So naqussus, we narrate or we told stories. Hum, of them. Alayka, alay, upon. Ka, you. Wa and kallama, he spoke. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa, to Musa alayhi salam. Taklima, this word comes from kalam as well. Kaf lam mim, and that means speaking. So taklima, a definite speaking. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. That's it for our word meanings for today. Now we will begin with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Last class, we learned in detail about what happened when the Jews thought they had crucified Isa alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had actually raised him to the heavens alive. He was never killed or crucified. He is alive in the heavens. He was the messenger of Allah, and he will be sent back to this world again, close to the Day of Judgment. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. And there is none of the people of the book but will believe in this fact before his death. The pronoun he in bihi, qabla mawtihi, can refer to two things. One interpretation says that the first he in the part where it says la yu'minanna bihi, that surely they'll definitely believe in him, refers to Isa alayhi salam. And the second one, in mawtihi, applies to the Ahlul Kitab, or the people of the book. So it means that all of the people of the book will believe in Isa alayhi salam before they die. They have been confused about what happened with him. They just don't know whether he was crucified or not, or if he was the son of God, na'udhu billah, or an illegitimate child, astaghfirullah, like some of them say. All these things will become clear to them, along with whatever else they believe about Isa alayhi salam. So everyone from among the Ahlul Kitab accepts the truth before they die. They believe. And we know that everyone who lives gets to know the truth anyway at the time of their death, because they start to see the next life. The Ahlul Kitab will get to know that nobody can be the Son of God. And before they die, all the doubts they had about Isa alayhi salam, everything they doubted about him, all the questions they had about him, all the doubts will be eliminated. They will know the truth about him then. Ibn Abbas explained that all Jewish people will believe in Isa alayhi salam before they die. So right when they start to see the wayb before they die, the unseen from the next life, they become believers. But that will not help them, because belief does not help anyone once they start to see the ghaib. Even though that person is still alive at that point, but just because they see the other side, it doesn't help them. They haven't died yet, but they see the unseen, the ghaib, so it's too late to accept. Suddenly, having iman at that time will not benefit them because the test is basically over at that point. The second way this is explained, this ayah, وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. The second way it's explained is that the pronoun from لَتُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ refers to Isa alayhi salam, that there will be none of the people of the book who die without believing in Isa alayhi salam. The Quran, Islam, and it can also mean Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the prophet. It can mean any of these things, that there will be no Ahlul Kitab who dies until they believe in those things. In this interpretation, the pronoun he at the end of the word mawtihi would mean Isa alayhi salam. Okay, so it would mean that they will all believe in him before his death, because he has not passed away yet. He is still alive. Before he dies, they will all have believed in him. Once Isa alayhi salam comes back and he kills the Dajjal, the Antichrist, all other religions will come to an end. Only Islam will be the religion that exists. None of the Ahl Kitab will be Ahl Kitab anymore. The Jews will not be Jews anymore, and the Christians will not be Christians. So we wonder what will happen with them, right? Well, there's going to be a great war called Malhamatul Kubra. Malhamatul Kubra. Muslims will be on one side fighting against an enemy. And that war is going to be big. A lot of people will die as a result of it. Isa alayhi salam will descend after that war. Imam Mahdi will be the Amir, or the leader of the Muslims at that time. We learn all the details about the descent of Isa alayhi salam in so many ahadith. There is a Bukhari hadith that says, what will happen when the Messiah bin Maryam will descend upon you, while your Imam will be from among you, meaning Imam Mahdi. Now, keep in mind that Isa alayhi salam had been raised to the heavens already before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sent, right? Isa alayhi salam was already gone. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Isa alayhi salam will descend upon you, right? He said, what will happen when the Messiah descends upon you? That he is going to descend upon you. That means that Isa alayhi salam will come back to this world again. Every soul must die. We all know that. But Isa alayhi salam has not passed away yet. He was raised to the heavens alive. Next is an Abu Dawood and Musnad Ahmad hadith that narrates. It says that all the prophets are the sons of one father. All of the prophets, they are all like brothers, but they have different mothers. This means that all of them try to convey the same message of Tawheed. They try to tell people to believe in one Allah. But the Sharia, or the religious laws, for each prophet were different. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am closest to Isa bin Maryam because no prophet will come between me and him. He will definitely descend. You should be able to recognize him when you see him. He is a man of medium height. His complexion is between reddish and white. He'll be dressed in two slightly yellowish garments. His head looks as if it's dripping water, even though it is not wet. He will fight people in the cause of Islam. He will break the cross and kill the swine. He'll abolish jizya, which is the tax, the small amount of tax the non-Muslims paid to be able to live on lands that were conquered by Muslims without having to accept Islam. So a lot of them were willing to pay that small amount of tax to be able to live in Muslim lands, to be protected by the Muslims without having to accept Islam. So that jizya will be abolished. Alright? So on the Christians and Jews, it will not be accepted anymore. They were guaranteed protection after people paid this jizya, okay, to live on Muslim lands, but it will be abolished when Isa al-Islam comes back. He will not accept jizya. He will call people to Islam, and all the other religions will come to an end. Islam will be the only religion. Isa al-Islam will slay the Antichrist, the Dajjal, when he comes back. Then the earth will be a very peaceful place where nobody will be harmed by another. There will be so much peace and prosperity. And Isa al-Islam will stay in this world for 40 years, and then he will pass away. The Muslims will pray Salatul Janaza for him. Okay, so they're going to have a funeral prayer for Isa al-Islam once he passes away. This means that Isa al-Islam will pass away. He was 32 years old when he was raised from this world alive. He was raised to the heavens alive by Allah. And he will come back to this world close to the Day of Judgment. He will definitely come back. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to the heavens for Miraj, the nightly journey, he spoke to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam about when the Day of Judgment will be. And they both said that they didn't know. But Isa alayhi salam said something very different. He said, "I don't know when it will take place, but I do know that Allah has promised me something, that the Dajjal will appear. He will start melting when he sees me. Even the rocks and trees will cry out to tell Muslims that there's a kafir hiding behind them so they can be killed." That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Isa alayhi salam down before the Day of Judgment, right? And this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us about. But some Muslims laugh at this today, at the thought of Isa alayhi salam coming back to this world. They don't think he will come back. They don't believe it. So they say, well, keep waiting. It's not going to happen. Astaghfirullah. When they say such things, they are basically rejecting all the sahih, the accurate hadith about this. Because there's a Muslim hadith that says, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Isa alayhi salam is like Urwa bin Mas'ud. And when he comes back, he will kill the Dajjal. After that, people will live in peace for 7 years. They will all get along. Then a cold wind will blow from Syria that will make all the believers die, including all the people who have the least bit of iman in their hearts. They will all die, and the Day of Judgment will start after that. There are many tawatur hadith about this. They're reported numerously by different narrators and through various chains of transmission. So these hadith are very true. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Messiah bin Maryam, and he will descend by the white minaret in the east side of Damascus in Syria. He will be wearing two garments dyed in saffron and have his hands placed on the wings of two angels when he descends. When he will lower his head, water will drip from it, and when he will raise it, drops like pearls will scatter from it. Every disbeliever who will come in contact with his breath will die. And his breath will reach as far as he can see. So every disbeliever who comes in contact with his breath will die. He will then pursue the Dajjal until he catches him at the gate of Lod, which is a city located at the Sharon Plain, about 15 kilometers southeast of Tel Aviv, in the central district of Israel. Okay, so he's going to catch the Dajjal at the gate of Lod. It's called Lod in Arabic. Isa alayhi salam will then execute him. So we were given so many details about all this. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told us where he will descend and how, and even where the Dajjal will be killed. According to Hadith, there will be a large group of Jews from Isfahan in Iran following the Dajjal when he appears. And the Isfahani Jews will be with the Dajjal. Some will die by the time the Dajjal is killed by Isa alayhi salam. But as for those who are still alive, they'll try to hide behind rocks and trees, but the rocks and trees will cry out, "There's a Jew hiding behind me." Muslims will seize them and kill them. That means that all the stones and trees will speak aloud against them to reveal if a Jew is taking cover, so that the Muslim army can find and kill them. Besides one kind of thorny tree called the Ghurqad tree. That Ghurqad tree will not speak against them. It will actually let them take cover. So it's more like a friend to them. Now, we don't exactly know how the stones and trees are going to speak. Maybe they will talk somehow. Or maybe they just won't let the Jews hide behind them. Or they might just move to expose them. But the Ghurqad tree, that thorny tree, is not going to expose them. It's going to protect them. Now, they are planting a lot of those Ghurqad trees in Israel. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith tells us that this kind of tree will protect them. And they know these ahadith too. It seems like they believe in them even more than a lot of Muslims who deny ahadith now. So they are preparing. But when the Jews who accompanied the Dajjal will run around in a state of confusion, they will not be able to hide anywhere. Even walls will speak out to expose them if they try to hide behind them. So Isa alayhi salam will live on the earth for the time that's mentioned. There are also a hadith that mentioned that Isa alayhi salam will be here on earth when the Ya'juj and Ma'juj come out, and how Muslims will fight against them, and the things that will happen after that. There are so many hadith about all these things, so we cannot deny them. Some people even laugh at all these things, but that is basically like disbelieving the hadith. The Qadianis, the Ahmadiyya people, they claim that their leader, Mirza Qadiani, was the prophet who was sent back. Astaghfirullah. But we know that no more prophets would be sent after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isa alayhi salam is alive. Okay, he is already alive. He's been born and he was raised up alive and he will come back. But he will not be born. And even when he comes, he's not going to come back as a prophet. Not as a new prophet, because only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last messenger. When Isa alayhi salam comes back, he's going to come back as a person from the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he will not be born again. He's already alive. So the Qadianis, the Ahmadiyya people, they deny all the hadith about these events that we learn about to prove their false beliefs. And then there are others who just reject the hadith straight out. However, we know that Isa alayhi salam will live in this world. He'll come back. He'll live here and then he will pass away after that. And he'll be buried near Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave. Hadith tells us that he will perform Hajj and Umrah too when he comes back. And he will say Labbaik. The only religion around will be Islam then. And when he comes back here, he'll be a part of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah. So he will follow the religious law that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. He will not be sent back as a prophet with his own rules. No more prophets will come. Isa alayhi salam will kill the swine and break the cross. People will have so much wealth around at that time that there will be nobody willing to take it, because there is going to be so much extra. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. Soon, Ibn Maryam will descend among you. He will implement the Sharia," meaning the religious law. "He will be just. He will break the cross. So the religion represented by the cross will come to an end. Killing the swine," when it says that he's going to kill the swine, that also means that nobody will be able to consume it anymore. Nobody's going to eat it. Jizya will be abolished. And he will give out so much wealth that people will not need it or accept it. Doing one sajda will be better than this whole world and even more. If you want, read this ayah to find out about this. And this is the ayah that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu recited after narrating this hadith. This ayah that begins with وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ. So everyone will believe in Isa alayhi salam before they die. Obviously, Isa alayhi salam will come back, and that's when people will believe in him. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا. And on the Day of Judgment, he will bear witness against them. Just like all the other prophets will bear witness against their people, that they conveyed the message, and then of course it was up to the people to listen or not. Isa alayhi salam will bear witness against his people. Allah explains in detail at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask Isa alayhi salam if he told people to take him and his mother as gods. Isa alayhi salam will say, "O Allah, you are free of all defects. It's not suitable for me to say such a thing when I had no right to say it. If I had said something like that, you would have known. You know more than me. You are Allamul Ghuyub, the all-knower of all the unseen. I only told them to say what you ordered me to tell them, to worship Allah, the one Rabb, the one God who is theirs and my Rabb. The one God who is their Rabb and my Rabb. I was a witness to them till I was among them. After you raised me up, I don't know what they did. Only you know." These are ayat 116 and 117 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and they explain that Isa alayhi salam will say that that's all he knows, nothing more. He will bear witness that he conveyed the complete message of Tawheed to them. فَبِذُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ. Then, because of the wrongdoing of the people who call themselves Jews, we made unlawful upon them good things. أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ, that were halal for them. They were lawful for them before. The dhulm, or the wrongdoing they did, was their disobedience. All the sins they committed, and all the ways they transgressed, they crossed the limits of Allah. This ayah proves that sometimes halal things become haram for people as a result of their own things. For example, there's a hadith that tells us when a people engage in obscenity openly immorality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon them diseases and afflictions that never existed among their predecessors, like the plague, for example. And this is what's happening now. We hear about diseases that our parents and grandparents never even heard of, like the pandemic. And it's all due to immoral things that people are involved in, that most of the people are involved in fact. That's the punishment that people go through in this life for committing sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits lawful things for people because of their injustice. And that happened with the Jews too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An'am that He forbade certain things for them which were formerly lawful. He says, "We made unlawful for them every animal with claws, and we prohibited them the fat of cows and the sheep, except what carried their backs or the intestines or what is joined with the bone. And indeed, we are surely truthful." So why was this done? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these things haram for them? ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ That is how we reward them. We recompense them for their disobedience, for their transgression, crossing the limits, for their plotting and their evil. That means the sins we commit negatively affect us in this life as well as the hereafter. It's common for people to have certain diseases now that make them stay away from things that are not actually haram Islamically. There are a lot of people who are not allowed to eat sweet things, and others can eat salty foods or meat or other foods. Of course, that doesn't mean that specific person that's being mentioned is not allowed to eat such things. That person that you see who is not allowed to eat certain things, it's because he or she committed a sin. That's not the reason. But overall, when sins are common among people, they go through diseases. وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا And they're hindering of many people from the way of Allah. Sad means that they didn't obey themselves. They didn't obey the rules of Allah. And they didn't let others listen either. We learned already about so many different ways the Jews presented excuses to be able to do what they wanted, to disobey. And they hindered people from the way of Allah. They used to tell people to pretend to submit in the morning, to say that they accepted Islam in the morning and leave Islam at the end of the day. And then tell other people that they didn't think there was anything special about the religion. Astaghfirullah. Just to try to make it look like it was nothing special to other people. وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَى And they're taking of riba or usury. وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ In spite of its prohibition. This is why they were cursed by Allah. Interest was haram for them too, just like it is for us. They should not be surprised when they hear Muslims say that we can't be paying or taking interest, because this is clearly unlawful in their Sharia too, in their religious law. They always presented excuses to do what they wanted. And with the prohibition of interest, they started saying that interest is haram only when a Jew takes it from another Jew. Otherwise, it's okay to charge interest when dealing with other people. They act like the non-Jewish people aren't even human, that they're allowed to wrong them whatever way they want. They believe that non-Jewish people are not even proper human beings, and only they are the real humans. They believe that they won't be accountable for the laws they cause others. So they can charge other people interest, just not other Jews. وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And they're cheating others of their properties. This is another thing they did to incur the wrath of Allah. Now, we as the Muslims should stop and think about why this has become so common among Muslims too. To be caught up in all these sins listed here that the Jews used to commit. Nowadays, many Muslims are also involved in usury and they cheat people out of their wealth. They charge interest on loans that they give people. They bribe people. They commit frauds, lie, and do so many other things that are forbidden. And they do it in such a way that the other person they're cheating cannot even figure out what happened when they trick them out of their wealth. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And we have prepared a painful punishment for those among them who reject the faith. The word minhum, that means among them, tells us that not all the Jews will reject the faith. So some of them will be believers too. Not all of them will be disbelievers. But what will be the reward for the ones who do believe? That's coming up next. لَكِنِ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ. However, those among them who are well grounded in knowledge, firmly grounded, they don't just have shallow knowledge where they just hear things from people and then they quote them. They have in-depth knowledge of deen, where their knowledge is so powerful. So they believe without any doubt. They're like the trees that are rasikh, or well-grounded. The ones with roots that go so deep in the ground that they're very stable. That's how these people's ilm is too. People with in-depth knowledge are well-grounded, like those trees. Allahu Akbar. So the painful punishment is not for them at all. It's not for the rasikhun fil ilm, the ones among them who have in-depth knowledge of their book. Wal mu'minuna, and those who believe. In what? Yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka. They truly believe in what has been revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning they believe in the Qur'an, because their ilm tells them it is the truth. وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And whatever was sent down before you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning the books that came before him, the Torah and the Zabur. وَالْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةَ. And those who perfectly established the prayer. وَالْمُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. And those who pay the obligatory charity. The Jews had to pray and pay zakat too. But those who are steadfast in their knowledge accept Islam, and they believe in the Quran. They praise Allah and they pay zakat. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment, they do all these things. So it's not enough to just take the shahada. People have to do these things afterwards too. All the things listed after the shahada. So for them, أُولَٰئِكَ سَنُؤْتِيهِمْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Those are the ones who we will give a mighty reward to soon. This means that not all of them are the same. Some of them will be granted a great reward from Allah. The whole list of their sins was brought up here as a result of what they asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do. When they challenged him to show them the book of Allah being revealed to him before their eyes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they shouldn't dare ask you this after all the things they did wrong. They took interest when they were forbidden. They cheated people out of their wealth and properties. They hindered people from the way of Allah. They slandered Maryam alayhi salam. They claimed that they crucified Isa alayhi salam. Astaghfirullah. After all these great sins, it was not suitable for them to demand Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them a miracle. They wanted to see the Book of Allah come down to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the sky, right in front of their eyes, or to see it in the form of tablets. They were so disobedient even after Musa alayhi salam showed them miracles, like the tablets, and they demanded even more, without believing that he was the messenger of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam not to be sad, and not to think that they might have accepted Islam if they saw such a miracle. They would not have done it anyway. They would not have believed. That's why all their crimes were mentioned. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are some of them who are good, and they do good things that we learned about in this ayah, the rasikhun al-ilm. But most of them are not like this. But as for the ones who are good and they believe, there will be a great reward for them. After all their crimes were listed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the Jews, demanding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show them a miracle. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuh, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, we have sent revelations to you just as we sent to Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one. But instead of I, he uses the pronoun we for himself here. And why is that? Why does he say, indeed, we sent down revelations? He doesn't say, I sent down revelations. It's to show magnificence, to show greatness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he sent down ayat to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like he had done when he sent down revelations to Nuh alayhi salam. وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, and the prophets who came before him. And the prophets who came مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, after him. Okay, so Nuh alayhi salam and the prophets who came after Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam had received wahi as well. Wahi means a divine revelation, like a secret sign or inspiration that was done quickly, and nobody else was aware of it besides the person it was for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's nothing strange about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving wahi, because it happened before too, to Nuh alayhi salam and the prophets after him. Now, why was Nuh alayhi salam specifically mentioned here? Because he was the first Rasul, the first prophet who was given the Sharia, or religious law. And prophets after him received the wahi too. There were different ways wahi was done, but it was done with other prophets too. One way it happened was wahi-e qalb. Qalb means the heart. Okay? So it was inspired to the heart of the person. So that person was made to think something. And this is not at all difficult for Allah to do. So he made that person think something, feel something in his heart. Another way wahi was done is through speech. مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابِ, from behind the veil. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to Musa alayhi salam and spoke to him on Mount Tur. That's why we call Musa alayhi salam Kalimullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly from behind the hijab. Subhanallah. That is the second way wahi was done. When Allah spoke to someone with the other person standing before him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too, when he ascended for Miraj. The third way wahi was done is called wahi-e malak. Okay, it's done through an angel. Malak means an angel. When that happened, the angel brought down the wahi. And when this happened to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes the angel came in the form of a human, and Jibreel alayhi salam often came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of dahiya qalbi. But at times he came down to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his own real form as an angel. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him that way too. So the third type of wahi was done through an angel. When Angel Jibreel visited Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the form of a human, wahi was easy for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take. And when he was made to think of something by Allah casting it in his heart, a thought or inspiring something in his heart or mind, it was very difficult for him. He heard it like the sound of a bell, and it was so intense that he used to start sweating, even in the winter. These are all the different ways wahi was done to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should be familiar with these different ways and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never spoke to him without a hijab in between or any other way. Okay? So it was when he did speak to him at Miraj, it was min wara'i hijab, from behind the hijab. Wahi was done to all the prophets in one or more of the three ways we just learned about. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not speak to all of them. Okay? He didn't speak to them all min wara'i hijab. But he did wahi to them through the other two forms, either through qalb or the heart, or through malak, an angel. Nuh alayhi salam and the other prophets were also among those who received divine revelations. The Jews should not have doubted that wahi was done by Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because there were so many prophets who came before who received the wahi too, before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ. And we sent down revelations to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, and his descendants. All these prophets that received the wahi did not have books or tablets that they brought down for people to see. Okay, they didn't go to Mount Tur and bring books or tablets to people like Musa alayhi salam did. But the Jews believed in all these prophets that are mentioned. So why is it so hard for them to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And wal asbat are all the prophets who came from the offspring of Yaqub alayhi salam. So many prophets came from the Bani Israel, and the Jews believed in all the ones listed here. So why didn't they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَإِسَى وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُونُسَ وَهَارُونَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ. And Isa alayhi salam, and Ayyub alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, and Sulaiman alayhi salam. The Jews believed in all of these prophets. One thing to note here is that Isa alayhi salam was the last prophet sent from among the Bani Israel. No more were sent from among the Bani Israel. After him, only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as prophet, and he was from the Bani Ismail, not from Bani Israel. But Isa alayhi salam is mentioned in the middle of the list here with the prophets, because the Jews did not believe in him. They believed in all the rest that are mentioned here but him. So if Allah had mentioned his name in the end, they would have just said that we believe in them all besides the last. So Allah mentioned his name right in the middle. They believed in the ones mentioned before him and after him. So how could they not believe him? It doesn't make sense, right? And before Isa alayhi salam's name, the word wa was used to mean and. So it didn't have to be in a certain order of the prophets being sent, that the ones who came before come first and then the ones who came later. If fa was used as the prefix before his name, before ohena that we sent, it would have meant that the names would have had to be mentioned in the right order. So the word wa was used instead because it means and. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Isa alayhi salam right in the middle, even though he came in the end. So it didn't make sense that the Jews did not believe in him. وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا And we gave Dawood alayhi salam Zabur, the Psalms. The Jews really believed in Dawood alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. They believed in them as if no other prophets came after them. They acted like prophethood basically ended after them, they thought. Dawood alayhi salam was given the Zabur, and that was not written on tablets either. But they believed in. The Zabur was the glorification of Allah. Dawood alayhi salam had such a beautiful voice that when he recited, the birds would stop flying in the sky and they would stay in one spot to be able to hear his recitation. The mountains used to recite along with him. Subhanallah. Imagine how beautiful his voice must have been. But the Jews believed him. He was not given tablets either. وَرُسُولًا قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ And revelations were also sent to those Rasuls whom we have already mentioned to you. Meaning to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This meant that those Rasuls were already mentioned in the Quran before. We know that only 25 messengers are mentioned in the Quran. And some say 24 because there's a difference of opinion among the ulama regarding Dhul-Qifl. Okay, some say that Dhul-Qifl was a Rasul and others say that he was not. But counting him, there were 25. Otherwise, 24. So only they are the ones mentioned in the Quran. Does that mean no other messengers were sent? No. There were so many. One hadith tells us that there were 124,000 messengers that were sent. That hadith may not be very authentic, but there were countless messengers sent. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقُصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ And many messengers whose names we have not mentioned to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were messengers the Arabs knew of, who were sent to the areas around them. Okay, and the first ones addressed in the Quran were the Arabs of Mecca. Right? It was first sent to them. So the messengers close to them were only mentioned. Because they were only familiar with them. But there were many who were sent to all different parts of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave out the rest of the world. There were messengers sent to all different parts of the world. All different continents that we see today, there were messengers sent to all of them. But we just don't know their names. Most of the messengers are not mentioned by names, in fact. So we don't know. We only know the names of the few who are mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He doesn't punish nations until the truth is revealed to them and it becomes clear to them. So Allah would not have left out so many people without sending someone to guide them. He sent messengers to all different parts of the world. But most of them are not mentioned in the Quran. لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ This part teaches us something really beautiful. There are messengers that aren't even mentioned in the book that will be read till the Day of Judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that those messengers weren't special. They were really special, even though their names were not listed in the Quran, like some of the other messengers. Only 24 or 25 are listed by names, as we learned in the Quran. And the others, even though their names were not listed, they were still very special. But if we think about it, what do people like us think? People like us who do very small things. We want to be acknowledged. We want our names to be announced. even if nobody else even notices or cares. Why do these things make us so happy? These things should not matter to us, because there's no greatness in being recognized or appreciated by others. These messengers were great people. Okay, subhanAllah, but their names weren't mentioned, because there was no need to mention them. So Allah didn't mention them, but it doesn't make them any less valuable or any less honorable than the others who were mentioned. Nobody even knows their names. Forget their stories. But they were still great people. They did their work without seeking any recognition for whatever they did. We should learn from their example. People who are not so great are always conscious of this. They want their names to be mentioned. They want people to recognize them for the work they do. But we have to rise above all that when we do any work for deen. If we want to do anything important, people who just want to continue doing small things are just stuck on that level. They're caught up in that, just seeking acknowledgement from others. So we should keep in mind that just because someone's name is not mentioned does not mean that person is any less important in the eyes of Allah, or that their reward is going to be less than the others who are mentioned. Okay, so even those prophets whose names are not mentioned, which is most of them, most of the Rasuls, their names aren't mentioned, they were still great people. Okay, so there is no need for us to seek appreciation, to seek acknowledgement of others. Now, one thing we must remember, when we see the word Rasul in the Quran, which means a messenger, when we see the word Rusul, okay, Rusul includes prophets and nabis. Okay, it includes prophets. It includes messengers and prophets, because prophets means the nabis. Okay, the nabi are the prophets. So that includes both the Rasuls and the Nabis. But when we see the word Nabi, we see that often in the Quran too, right? Nabiyin. So the Rasuls are included in that as well. So even when we see Rasul, all the prophets are included. And when we see Nabi, the Rasuls are included as well. Okay, and when we see it singular, that means that person is also the Rasul. And when we see the Rasul, the word Rasul, it means that person's also a Nabi. But when these two words come together, then there's a difference between the word Nabi and the word Rasul. And ulama tell us different ways that these two words are different. But the point is, when the word Nabi is mentioned, or prophet, is mentioned in the previous ayah, where it says, وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, that includes Rasuls as well. It includes all the messengers. And where it says in this ayah, وَرُسُولًا قَدْ قَصَّصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ, that includes the Rasuls and the Nabis, all the prophets too. Because whenever one is mentioned, the other is also included. Okay, so whenever we see the word Rasul, it includes all the Nabis. And when we see the word Nabi, like Nabiyina, it includes all the Rasuls. But when the two words are mentioned together, the word Nabi and Rasul, we should know that there's a slight difference between the two. Some ulama say that Rasuls are the ones who were given a Sharia, a religious law, but Nabis are the ones who followed the Sharia of the previous one. Rasuls are the ones who were protected by Allah in life, so nobody could kill them. But Nabis were killed at times. Some explain that Rasuls were the ones books or suhuf were revealed to, but Nabis or prophets were the ones who books were not revealed to. There are differences between the two. We should know the basics, but we don't need to know the exact difference between the two, because we find so many different things that ulama have explained about this. Even though there isn't too much authenticity to this, Some said that Nabis were not ordered to convey the message to everyone, to each and every person. But Rasuls were ordered to tell everyone. But it's hard to understand why Nabis would not have been told to convey the message of Tawheed to all the people around them. Some say that if people didn't obey their Nabi or Prophet, no punishment came to them, like in the form of a disaster where they were all wiped out. It wouldn't have happened if they disobeyed their Nabi. But it happened to people who disobeyed their Rasul, their messenger. They were all wiped off the earth. People who disobeyed them. But we don't need to understand this in depth, as long as we know what Nabi and Rasul means. وَقَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam directly. He spoke to him in the definite way of speaking. SubhanAllah. He spoke to Musa alayhi salam from behind the hijab. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did speak to him directly. And Allah also spoke to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way, at Miraj. From what we know, it seems like these were the only two messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to that way. But Musa alayhi salam was the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to on earth. And he spoke to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us here that he did wahi on Nuh alayhi salam and many other rasuls, not all of them received tablets with writing on them. But the Jews believed in them, right? So it did not matter what way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to do wahi to the rasuls. The ones who weren't given tablets or books were not any less honorable in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose one of the three ways to do wahi to his messengers. So he tells the Jews that they were not being reasonable in demanding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring tablets with writing on them when they believed in all the other prophets that are mentioned, even though they were not given tablets with writing on them either. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته